The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, joining us this week for the Kids Clinic is chef and children's feeding therapist from Fussy Eating Kids, Louise Lennox, with her tips for getting kids involved in the kitchen in an age-appropriate way. Louise, thanks indeed for popping into us. How young should we be getting our kids involved in cooking, do you think?
I believe as young as we can. Like with my daughter, she was like she's a very determined little girl and she wanted to stir porridge at me. I was like holding her and she still wasn't weaned yet and she wanted to stir. So as soon as they like show interest, when they're able to actually grab stuff in that weaning stage, you can get them involved. We actually have life limiting limits of what our kids can do. And if we allow them and show them a little bit, you will be surprised of what they can actually achieve because we're just kind of fearful and we're not shown this. It's not something that we inherently think of when we actually are trying to get our kids into the kitchen and cooking.
So the advantages of getting them cooking early, what are they?
Huge. So what the research shows is that it actually has a huge impact in the amount and variety of food that they'll eat. When children are allowed to see, touch, look at food and it's part of their variety, it actually shows that there is a lesser chance of them being, when I say picky or fussy eating, there are other medical reasons for that. So I'm not saying that cancels that out, but there's a better chance that they will, when it's in their environment from a younger age and stage, that they will learn about it. Because when children learn how to eat, eating is a learned skill. And the first part of it is that they actually break down the sensory stand or textures is from touch, from smell. Like when you have a coffee, you don't have to taste the coffee to know it's coffee because you smell it. 70% of how we actually eat is through sense. I think a lot of people during COVID learned that. Well, I know somebody, COVID, he's like, I can't taste anything. I'm drinking all the crap wine. So like, so you lose that sense of smell. That's huge for food. But then textures, and for children, when we think about it, when they're actually able to touch the textures, it actually goes into the brain. The brain banks it as a memory and then they're processing it and they're more likely to understand what that's going to be like before it even goes into the mouth. So it's really important.
You think baking is a great starting point.
It's a good ins, yeah, because like, you know, we're not normally, you know, stressed out baking with our kids. We're not normally trying to like, you know, coerce them into tasting the cake or anything like that. And it's normally one of those happy memories. Anyone I've spoken to when they talk about being in the kitchens and memories and smells, it's normally baking is one of those first things that comes to mind.
That's funny. I always remember making the Christmas pudding in November with my mother and it was something we looked forward to. Like she'd get us involved in it. It was, and it is kind of a happy memory. A listener got in touch to say, my son's encouraged to help with cooking and allowed to use sharp knives from an early age, 3 years young. He's a chef now. I was going to ask you about the dangers that are there. I nearly chopped the top of my finger off with a sharp knife the other day and I'm an old fella. How do you get that balance right?
So when our kids are very young, I would say let's avoid maybe the super sharp knives. But you'd be surprised what like little, when I say little kids' knives, like I have these small, like, you know, like buttered knives that are age appropriate for kids' little hands. And actually when I was weaning my daughter, because there's always new products coming out on the market, I had these ones. They're made from metal, but she was able to grip them with her whole fist. And that was really good for actually just like chopping down. Like strawberries are very easy to chop down. You can squash them in your hand. Mushrooms are very easy. If you take the skin off, cucumbers are very easy. But it's teaching them how to do it. So when kids are very small, you put hand over hand. That's how we teach little kids, because we think it's all from actual speaking. Children learn by actually watching us. I think the stat is it like 70% or something? I can't remember exactly, so don't quote me, of how we communicate is body language, and children watch us. So doing a sawing motion, because most of those knives are serrated, you can use scissors, but it's important to obviously be there with your child. You don't leave them on their own. But even just chopping things with like scissors, like those little scissors you get in the craft shops, they're actually quite sharp. You can chop chives with them. You could put them in a little bowl and you can chop up lettuce. What I actually love is baby leaf spinach, because a lot of parents, when they're trying to get their kids to cook, there's a lot of guilt associated with me. I worked in crazy restaurants for years and I can tell you one thing, cooking with my kids I found very stressful because you're not getting paid for it. And so
and they
I
make
was,
an awful mess.
And the mess, or you're kind of going, like there was a study and said for like the average amount of time you have is 21 minutes from beginning to end to get food on the table. So I always say, don't say that you're going to cook a home meal because you're going to be stressed and kids feed off that. So just get them to do one thing, one touch point where they're going to have one interaction with the food. So spinach is great, for example, because the from a sensory texture point of view, it's normally very predictable. It's not wet. It doesn't go gooey in their hands. And you can get like a little kid, it's going to be messy, to open the bag and put it into a bowl. That's one interaction where they're exposure. Or they can take off the little stalks and it's very easy for them to do. They can do that at any age. And you can just kind of gauge as they grow up what they're able to do. It's important though as well to think about the amount of distractibility. So for example, my son's got ADHD. Me trying to get him into the kitchen, I had to give him short, easy jobs to do because after 5 minutes he was bored, he was gone, he was onto something else. So everyone knows their own child. So don't think you're going to do 3-star Michelin dinner with them maybe in a year's time. And I always think what's really best if you're trying to get a bit of cooking in is to actually plan. Don't do it when you're rushing in from work or you have to go to the shops, because if you set yourself up to do too much, it's going to be disastrous. And I'm talking from experience. Yeah. I used to do kids' cookery shows and I used to go, I'm going to be the Mary Poppins of cooking my own kids. Then when you become your own parent, you'll all agree, you're always the best parent before you become a parent. And it was disaster. And I used to feel really guilty going, another day my child hasn't cooked. This is not good. And then I just learned the hard way, going, limit my own expectations and just do small, easy tasks.
When she said, I don't dance now, I make money moves, that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.
The knife seems to be a big issue for people because the texture can... I have an absolute fear of my kids chopping their fingers off. They're 7 now. There's no way I'd let them chop anything. And I was a bit like that, Louise, in terms of I always worried about the chopping. And then I saw Kids MasterChef. And there's kids who are 8, 9, 10, 11, who not only are using proper butcher knives, like the proper ones, but they're using the little, you know, the Bunsen burnery things to caramelize the tops of the panna cottas and all of that. Like we underestimate what our kids can do if they've been shown how to do things
because
properly.
Because we need to teach it. You're so right. I mean, like my husband would probably chop off his fingers. I mean, when I was leaving to come in here today, I cooked everything. I was like, all you need to do is microwave this. And I could see the fear in his eyes. He would chop off his finger. But if we teach them, there's some great instruments out there that you can get. They're little chopping knives and they have a little guard if you're very nervous. But it's to actually do with your child and to teach them how to do it. Nobody's going to learn how to chop until you're shown. When I was in, like, doing an apprenticeship a million years ago in my very early days before my career changed, I was shown by the chef of how you chopped and you watched what you did and you took it slowly.
Interesting text coming in here. My kids were using scissors and penknives for crafts, supervised of course, in creche when we lived in Denmark. I wonder, was that the year of living Danishly?
You are so delighted to have the opportunity to say that. I do think you're right about getting kids to be involved in what they eat and what they cook broadens their horizons in terms of it. Because I know I went through a phase, and it was only ever a phase because I'm inconsistent on these things, where I was like, okay, on a Sunday, I'll let my kids pick what we have for dinner, but they have to cook it with me helping them rather than the other way around. And so one of my children who loves carbonara, I was saying, you know, like, okay, you get to pick, Susan, that's what I want. And I was getting all the ingredients and stuff to show. And he goes, no, I don't eat eggs. I don't like eggs. And I said, you like carbonara? And he goes, yeah. And I said, what do you think's in carbonara? Yeah. And he was confused. And I said, I make it for you and you like it, don't you? This is how we make it. And it was the first time he was willing to actually entertain the idea of an egg. He hadn't known there was eggs in it before. Do you know? Because he just knew it was pasta that he
and
liked.
And that's why, Kira, a big misconception is let's sneak in food. And when children, a big part of the first thing when I work with parents about their children's eating, we don't even look at the food. We build trust first, because children have to trust that you're not going to try and sneak in food, because like they are ninjas, they're food detectives. If they see one thing in there and they're like, oh, I don't eat that, they're going to go, now my mom's trying to poison me. I'm not going to eat any of that at all. And what you did there was amazing, because The other problem with that is, as you said, eggs. If we always sneak in veg, and I understand why we did it. I did it in the early days as well. They're never going to know what an egg or a carrot or a pea looks like because they haven't seen it.
I just want to really quickly get to this text. 10-month-old, very fussy, won't eat veg or any meat. Could eat meals today and turn nose up another day. Keep hearing about there being a window of time to get him eating. I'm so worried. So a 10-month-old. It's very young, isn't it?
It is young. I think the person texting is right to kind of be aware of this, because the other misconception with children's eating is we think it's a phase that starts at two. It can start earlier, but not to worry. The big part of when you're weaning them at 10 months is, remember, children will, when they're learning how to wean, they naturally, their tongues are moving forward because their gag reflex is going back further. And what looks like refusing food, we take when they've stopped eating it once or twice as complete food refusal, continue to offer it. But I would also make a note of, is this consistently happening or is it sometimes happening? Because the same happens when children are able to talk. They say no once or twice. We were like, that's off the menu. Where no means I just haven't learnt about it yet. So I wouldn't worry yet, but I would continue to keep offering it.
Okay. Louise Lennox, chef and children's feeding therapist. Thank you indeed for talking to
Thanks
The Hard Shoulder.
Me.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.